4,000 weeks. That's all we get if we're lucky enough to live to 80. In a world obsessed with productivity and efficiency, this stark reminder of our mortality isn't depressing. It's revolutionary. What if the solution to our time anxiety isn't squeezing more into our limited days, but finally confronting the uncomfortable truth of our finitude? The question isn't how to get everything done, it's accepting we never will. This perspective shift doesn't diminish life, it makes each moment more precious. When we stop running from our mortality and instead use it as the foundation for our choices, we discover what truly matters. The conveyor belt of tasks will never stop, but we can choose how we relate to it. Perhaps time isn't something we have, but something we are in. Not a resource to optimize, but the very medium of our existence. Despite all our time-saving technologies, we feel more rushed today than people did decades ago. Why? Because when we save time in one area, we don't actually save it, we fill it with more demands. Email makes communication instantaneous, but now we're expected to respond immediately. Washing machines freed us from manual laundry, but now we wash clothes far more frequently than our grandparents ever did. This creates what I call the efficiency trap. The more efficiently you work, the more work materializes to fill your newly available time. It's like trying to empty the ocean with a bucket. The water never stops coming. Our inboxes, to-do lists, and social media feeds function like Sisyphus's boulder, designed to be infinite. The moment you clear your email, more arrives. This creates a painful paradox. We frantically try to get things done to feel peace, but the very franticness prevents the peace we seek. We're caught in what philosopher Martin Heidegger called the constant not yet, always looking forward to some future moment when everything will finally be under control, a moment that never arrives. At the heart of our time struggles lies what philosophers call the paradox of limitation, the fact that any choice to do something is simultaneously a choice not to do countless other things. We hate this truth. We want to be unlimited, to experience everything, to keep all possibilities open. But time forces us to choose, to close doors, to accept that we cannot do it all. We try to escape this anxiety through various strategies, multitasking, speed reading, efficiency hacks, but these only reinforce the underlying problem, our refusal to accept finitude. We believe that with just the right system, we could somehow transcend human limitations. Consider how we approach our goals. We create bucket lists with hundreds of destinations, career ambitions spanning multiple industries, and reading lists that would take several lifetimes to complete. For every book you read, 10 more get published that you should read. For every skill you master, dozens more become relevant. What makes this especially painful is that we're surrounded by messages suggesting unlimited possibility. You can be anything you want. Don't settle. These seemingly inspirational messages actually create profound distress by denying the basic reality of human limitation. The alternative to exhaustive pursuit starts with accepting finitude, recognizing that your limited time is what makes your choices meaningful, not a limitation to overcome. When you truly grasp that you have just 4,000 weeks, the question shifts from how can I get everything done to what's worth doing with my limited time? This realization is liberating, giving you permission to be selective. Strategic underachievement means deliberately neglecting less important tasks to succeed at vital ones. Accept that your inbox won't be empty, your house won't be perfectly clean, and your knowledge will be incomplete. These aren't failures, but necessary trade-offs of focusing on what matters. Warren Buffett illustrated this perfectly when advising his pilot. After listing 25 goals and circling the top 5, Buffett explained that everything not circled becomes the avoid at all costs list. Since you can't do everything, you're always procrastinating on something. Most of us procrastinate poorly, delaying important but challenging work in favor of easy, urgent tasks like cleaning our desk instead of writing that difficult email or checking social media instead of starting important projects. Better procrastination means deliberately deciding what to neglect. It means letting your inbox overflow for deep work or letting laundry pile up for quality time with your children. It means consciously postponing goals that don't align with your core values. This approach requires courage. It's easier to pretend you'll eventually do everything than to make hard choices about what truly deserves your attention. It also means abandoning the fantasy of the perfect moment. Many of us wait for ideal conditions, more time, knowledge, or confidence, but as Annie Dillard notes, how we spend our days is, of course, how we spend our lives. One of the most liberating perspectives is cosmic insignificance therapy, recognizing that in the universe's grand scheme, nothing we do matters significantly. Earth is a tiny speck in an incomprehensibly vast cosmos, human civilization a brief flash in our planet's history, and your life an even smaller moment within that flash. Rather than being depressing, this realization is freeing. When you accept the universe's indifference to your achievements and failures, you're released from the pressure to make your life count on a cosmic scale. You're free to live for life's own sake. This perspective doesn't diminish your choices, it amplifies them. Without an external cosmic purpose dictating your life's meaning, you're free to create it through how you spend your limited time. Your choices matter deeply to you and those around you, even if they don't matter to the universe. This resolves our paradoxical relationship with time, feeling life is simultaneously too short and too long. Both views miss the essential point. Life is simply limited, and these limitations give it shape and meaning. After exploring perspectives on time and finitude, we face the essential question. How do you want to spend your 4,000 weeks? Not according to others' expectations, but according to what truly matters to you. This question challenges us deeply. We're bombarded with messages about what we should want, success, wealth, influence, that we often lose touch with our authentic desires. We chase goals without questioning if they align with our core values. Consider, if you knew you had exactly 4,000 weeks, which you do, what would change? Which relationships and work would matter most? What experiences would you pursue? What would you abandon? There are no universal answers. A well-spent life means something different to everyone. The goal isn't finding right answers, but ensuring your choices reflect your values rather than unconscious conformity. A meaningful life isn't about doing or experiencing everything possible. It's about being present for your finite moments, choosing them wisely, and embracing them fully, imperfections and all. These 4,000 weeks aren't just counting down, they are your life itself.